I'd like to have a little fun tonight, for one thing. And one of the things that I thought...
Why don't you take off my pants?
Oh, no. Speaking of taking off your pants, Dick and I have the pleasure, or displeasure, of playing races together quite a bit. And one of Dick's favorite sayings is, this is the most fun thing that you can do with your clothes on. I got news for you, folks. I think this is the most fun thing you can do with your clothes on or off. I really like to handicap, and I've learned a lot by writing this book. And I want to talk real briefly, because how many people understand 100% what Jim Bradshaw was talking about today? He was talking about some very sophisticated stuff. Very sophisticated. And if you feel that you've lost something because you didn't understand it 100%, I would encourage you to take that information home and try to digest it, because it's very valuable. And most of my, if you want to call it, creative idea, as far as creating the adjustments and total pace ratings and the track-to-track adjustments, guess where I got that idea from? From the Red Matchup Manual. So it's really good stuff. And that's just Jim's thinking. And Jim went into an explanation in the matchup manual that I did not understand. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. And 2.5 years later, it's become a book. And it's a lot of work in between. One of the things I'd like to show you, is so that you can get an idea of what we're going to be talking about tonight, is the simplicity with which you can use total pace ratings. Did anybody handicap the card at Hollywood Park yesterday? Did anybody do the fifth race? Okay. What we're going to do as a group is we're going to handicap the fifth race at Hollywood Park on the screen, except we're not going to use any horses' names. And we're not going to enter the horses in the order that they appeared in the field, so you don't know who won and who didn't win. And then as a group, we're going to try to come to some sort of decision of who do we think is going to be the winner and why. And I can tell you a little bit about Hollywood Park and the sprints right now. You have to be an early presser. You have to be able to press the pace. If you can't, at 6 furlongs, you can win if you're really, truly superior. But if you lag too far behind your field, you run out of space. You just can't do it. So I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to have Dick take the total pace rating form.
Okay.
And we'll put it up on the screen. This will only take about 5 minutes.
You've got them.
I've got them. Okay.
I need a plastic one.
There you go. We did this at Saratoga about a year and a half ago, actually. And after I did it, I realized how it cleared up some people's thinking. These numbers are scaled from 1 to 100. We've all been raised that 100 is basically perfect. So 90 is like an A, and 80 is a B in school, and all that sort of thing. So that's where these scales came from. That was the thinking behind it, because it's not 53.5 feet per second. Well, what does that mean exactly? So we're going to talk about it in numbers that we can all recognize, 100 being very good. The first horse, what we're going to do is, this form that you see is in the book. And this was a form that Dick created to help me. When we were doing the research, I have filled out literally thousands of these forms. We didn't have a computer program in the beginning. I did it with a nauseous little hand calculator. So it was a pain in the neck. Okay. Dick? Okay. The first horse... you notice that the horses are arranged by running style? And the reason we do that is to force people to notice the running style of horses. And if total pace is one thing, it's a learning tool. It's a tremendous learning tool. You'll begin to understand why horses that traditionally run 6 and 7 lengths behind, even though they may have come out of a fast pace line, if they're going to be running 6 or 7 lengths behind a slower pace today, they are not contenders to win today. And you will begin to realize when you're using a false pace line for a horse that will not give you the answer that is the proper answer. Yeah, you'll see this in the race, actually. Okay, the first horse is that we're going to put in is Sustained. So we'll start at the bottom. And his adjusted total pace rating is early is 89.7. One of the things you really need to have in a sprint at Hollywood Park is have an early rating higher than 90. His final fraction rating is 87.2. For a total of 176.8. That's his total pace rating. That's a good rating. These are 3-year-old fillies. These are upper level claiming horses. The next group is the presser group. There are no pressers in this race. A presser, by definition of total pace, is a horse that runs 3rd, 4th, or 5th more than 3 and less than 5 lengths behind the leader. So there's no pressers. We do have some early pressers, however. The first early presser is, well, we might as well just put numbers in there instead of, because there's going to be 3 of these. The first one has an early pace rating of 91.5. A final fraction rating of 78.1 and a total pace rating of 169.6. One of the things that you need in Southern California to win is generally a final fraction higher than 80 and a total pace rating higher than 170. This offers kind of a serious cloud on this horse already. Horse number 2 of the early pressers has an early pace rating of 95.9, a final fraction rating of 80.2, total pace rating of 176. The third horse that's an early presser has an early pace rating of 91.4, a final fraction rating of 83.8, and a total pace rating of 173.6. And this horse has been off for 6 months, so we really don't know for sure if he's going to run his best race today. The lone early horse, the only horse that has gone for the lead every time it's at the first call, has an early pace rating of 91.8, a final fraction of 83.8, a total pace rating of 175.6. Now, there's a couple of things that I'd like you to notice. If we have a horse that likes to run about a 91.8, or for discussion, about a 92 early, which is about a 45 and 3, what horses in the field, by their position, early pressers are horses that run 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, and no more than 2 lengths back at the second call. Can their 3 early pressers keep up with the early horse? Okay? Can they or not? Okay, at the second call, which is the early pace rating, what happens to at least one of the early pressers? He starts to fold, doesn't he? Now, our leading horse has a final fraction of 83.8. Is there an early pressing horse that has a final fraction higher than 83.8? Okay. How about a sustained horse? Now, the sustained horse is more than five lengths behind. He can make up ground on the leaders, right? Now, one of the things that you have to realize is that we're going to be facing a slower pace than that sustained horse faced last time. So his early pace rating, if he's five lengths behind, would only be, it would be down around 84, 85. That's going to slow down considerably. He's going to be basically in the same position that he wants to be. But his figures, his total pace rating is not going to be so overwhelming that he looks like a real good horse here. If you put this horse through a computer, it's probably going to come up with him. Now, which horses of the early pressers has any chance at all of either pressing the early horse seriously or passing him? Is there anybody? Okay. Why would you say that? He's got a monstrous early, doesn't he? And he doesn't even have to use that early today. And one of the successful things that you need at Hollywood Park is you need to have some balance of your energy distribution, or you can't win. By this pace line, which is a Santa Anita pace line, he doesn't have it. But because he's only going to be forced to use about 92 points of that 95, he might have some extra left. All he's got to do is shift that energy slightly to conform with Hollywood Park, and he's certainly as good as our leading horse. Would anybody disagree with that? Okay, now, you've got five horses up there. These are the five, the standard five contenders that Perko recommends that you have for your race. Which horse is the most likely winner, and what is your most likely place horse? Who said two and early? Okay. Does anybody disagree with that? Does anybody agree with that? Is it unanimous? Does everybody see why the two and the early horse are probably your two most likely horses? What kind of odds would you take on the two and the early horse? Now, this is a short field. This is not even a big field of horses. Would you take 5 to 2 and 16 to 1? I'll tell you what the rub is against the early horse. He's stepping from $16,000 claiming race for 3-year-old fillies to $40,000 claiming race for 3-year-old fillies. Does anybody have a problem with that? No, he's not coming off a win. In older horses, that's often considered to be a negative, but in young horses, 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds, that's a very positive sign that the horse is starting to develop. Just ran a really good race and is the only early horse in this race and can crank a 21 and 4 opening quarter, which is quite good at Hollywood Park for this class of horse. So the horse is no slouch. And turning into the stretch, even though he isn't the top early, he's going to have the lead. He's going to have the lead. Well, this was the fifth race, and number two was Simple Surprise, who was in third position. The horse that was in second position is first in 80 or something like that. Who is the number one early presser on your chart on the screen there? And La Bizcoca or something, whatever that horse is, did have the lead, but he did give it up in deep stretch at 16 to 1. But if you're going to follow the party line and bet your top two horses, you would have 60% of your wager on Simple Surprise and got $7, and you would have 40% of your wager on the horse at 16-1. And you might even be tempted to play an exacta. Probably not, though. The exacta paid
$120. I know I missed.
$120. That's a nice exacta. Now, the 3-2 favorite was the big sustained horse. And if total pace rating has one strength, it's the fact that you'll begin to realize that sometimes when you see a horse that likes to lay five lengths behind its field, and you look at that early pace rating, or you pump it through thoroughmation and realize that it's got a high early rating, even though he's a sustained horse, he may not be able to earn that today because he's just too far behind. It's a matter of positioning, and you should probably seek out a pace line where he's running against a similar early, not that real fast, because he didn't set it. He was just kind of going along with the group. And that was one of my fatal mistakes in handicapping. So that if you just look at a number, Chief Appeal, I believe, is the top total pace rating. He's 176.8. Simple Surprise is 176. The early horse, La B, whatever it is 175.6. So those horses are very, very closely rated together. But if you use just some very simple thinking about where they're going to be in the race, you can begin to understand why Chief Appeal lost. And he, guess what? He was five lengths behind his field at the second call, and he made up some ground in the stretch, but it's too little, too late. No, there were three other horses, which were pretty easy eliminations. They had very bad ratings. I did calculate their total pace ratings, and they were just seriously slow horses. So I was not trying to clutter up anything. I wanted to make it fairly simple and straightforward so that the audience could basically participate in something blind. But this is what total pace is all about. It's an early pace rating. It's a final fraction rating. And the two numbers are added together to become a total pace rating. And this number is adjusted for the daily racing form variant and any track-to-track considerations. Now, what Jim Bradshaw was talking about extensively today in the book Pace Makes the Race, it'll tell you how to do that. It'll tell you basically how Jim Bradshaw does it, the thinking behind it. Because he's 100% correct in what he does. He just does it in his head. He's smarter than the average bear. He does it in his head. He knows that certain tracks, as he said, if you run a 46 early at one track, or 46 seconds to the second call at one track, an equal rating at this track might be 44 4 seconds, because he's seen so many races. Another thing you're going to find out when you start using these ratings is that the daily racing form variant is very, very accurate. I've done a lot of pace lines. Dick alluded to the figure of about 80,000, which is about correct right now. When I first started doing this research, I did 10 lines on every horse in every race just to notice form cycles. That's a bit excessive. You don't have to do that. But what I was trying to perfect was, I wanted a rating. If a horse ran a good race at Del Mar, I want him, and he ran a good race at Hollywood Park, and the times seemed to be different visually, I wanted the ratings to come out. Because my feeling is that a horse is not smart enough to say, I'm going to run, you know, a 109-3 today, and I'm going to fake them out and run a 110-4 at Hollywood, you know, 3 months down the road. They can only go so fast. They try their best. Some days they win, some days they lose. So my thinking is, and it's correct, believe me, it is 100% correct, that when a horse is in form, it can do so much, and it will vary quite a bit from one track to another. And the difference is the surface speeds of the various tracks he's running on. Now, one quick and dirty thing. I'm going to pass along a very valuable tip. Very valuable tip. If a horse runs an 80 speed rating at Santa Anita at a particular distance, he will be able to run an 80 speed rating at any other track in the country, and you can adjust that speed rating for track class. Here's what that means. If a horse runs an 80 speed rating at Santa Anita, and they move him to Bay Meadows, which is two class levels below Santa Anita or Hollywood Park or the Southern California Circuit, his speed rating will go up to about 82. Now, if you don't believe this, there's a real nice track-to-track or track-class chart in the book Pace Makes the Race. Go home and try it on your home track, your home circuit. There were three horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic that had run speed ratings of around 100. One of them was Festin a long time ago on a very strange set of circumstances where they tried to go a 108 and change at a mile and a quarter race at Belmont or something like that. And the other two were Black Tie Affair and Twilight Agenda. Surprise, surprise. Black Tie Affair, who was leading the race every step of the way, won, and Twilight Agenda ran second. If you want to check your contender selection, check out those speed ratings. Unless the variant is really wicked, either fast or slow, chances are, if you're putting 80 horses in with 85 horses, the 80 horse is a slow horse. He's not going to suddenly get any faster. That's his best effort. Unless the horse is the type of horse that collapses on the lead because of extreme pace pressure or sets a very wicked pace. If the horse runs a complete race, and his complete race is 78, that's all the faster this poor dog can go. And if he fits in today's race, great. Use him. If he doesn't fit, then get rid of him because he just ain't fast enough. I mean, that's the real bottom line. I used to do this stuff. I'd call Schmidt up at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and I said, I just did all these races, and look at this. This is so great. And, oh, God, leave me alone. I did this forever. And I thought, it just can't be that easy. The horses from Turd Paradise, pardon my language, I think it's hysterical. They run 6 speed rating points slower at Santa Anita than they do at Turf Paradise. And the reason is because there's 6 class levels difference between those two tracks. There's your track to track, a real down and dirty, quick track to track. And you've got 10 lines to select from, as Jim Bradshaw told you. So you don't always have to use the last line, but look at a good effort for the horse. See if it makes sense. That's a quick way to do a form cycle on a horse. If his numbers make sense, then you're on to something. If they don't, if he's running a 75 one week and a 105 the next, now you've got a different set of problems. But for your day-to-day handicapping, that's a real quick and dirty way of doing it. That little piece of information can clear up a lot of these mysteries that we've all had over the years. I mean, I had the same mysteries that you had. After 80,000 pace lines, there's no more mysteries. This is it. This is good. This is good stuff, as Michael Perry likes to say.
Tom, let me talk about contender selection for other programs.
Okay.
We have 3 horses in here. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can't point that.
Well, I'll point for it.
Can I wander around? Yeah, I can wander with this sucker.